Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
Well, hi, my name is Chuck Hoffman.
And my name is Peg Carlson Hoffman.
And we're executive directors of Holden Village, and we're also artists, and we've been artists for a long time, painters, designers.
And we're here today to talk a little bit about art class and also to talk about what art might have to do with being the directors of the village.
So our class is Art, Earth, and Spirit, and we are working with archetypal shapes to start a visual language for folks. Many of the people that we have in our class have little art experience, or they have been stopped from making art by teachers or people along the way, and we try to open that creativity and imagination and wonder back up to them by giving them a visual language.
One of the difficulties in making art is if you do not have a visual language, it's very hard and difficult to actually draw or make things. So we always start with archetypal shapes. There are five, actually, that have been discovered in the world through all time and in all cultures, and they mean the same thing no matter where you go. Mm-hmm. So the five archetypal shapes actually are the circle, the square, the triangle, the equilateral cross, and the spiral. And each of those shapes, the circle tends to mean wholeness or unity or a reference to the divine or the sun. The square means stability and solidity and always like a good foundation for something. The triangle refers to hopes and dreams. You might think about the pyramids when you think about hopes and dreams. And then the equilateral cross has always been a symbol for relationship. Mm-hmm. And we find that through all times. And the spiral means growth.
Mm-hmm. Creativity.
And journey, which makes a lot of sense.
And you can see that like in the patterns of birthing stars. And you can find it carved in rocks that go back to Northern Ireland at many ancient sites, that symbol has emerged. So we start there with folks, and then those shapes have different meanings, and then to combine those shapes begin a visual language. So then we move from a personal design using those shapes into patterns and printing, and then eventually that moves people into the right side of their brain and more shape and form related rather than words and linear paths. So it opens people up to creativity and exploring things through color, shape, and form.
Our goal is to give people a way to communicate that doesn't contain words. Because words, when we've worked in places of conflict, words are combative sometimes. And so it's really helpful to give people other things to talk about. And when we paint together using all these shapes and forms, it gives us a way to communicate without speaking.
It's a good way to like bring people together. We do a lot of exercises with art in our Art, Earth, and Spirit class that really draws from nature and seeing symbols in nature and transforming those into pieces of art. There's also a deep connection that we try to bring between creativity and art and the spiritual. And those things begin to work closely together to really, in the attempt to birth new images of things that don't exist and to really show things in a new way. Art has that potential, that power for social change. And we do a lot of work around that where artists that are birthing new things and bringing other people along, or where words and politics bring things to a screeching halt, that sometimes the art can show us pathways into new or to think about things differently. I know recently I saw a piece with the wall on the southern border that an artist constructed teeter-totters so that people on both sides of the wall could continue to play together. Artists and poets and dancers and musicians kind of leading us into a different part of our beings. And I think when it taps into that spiritual part of our natures, it begins to connect people in a different way.
The way artists are able to reimagine things is the key in that. We were working in Palestine, Israel, with Mitri Rahib, and I believe, Chuck, you asked the question.
I asked him because he had started Dar al-Kalima, which is an art school in Bethlehem, and asked him of all the things that I could imagine as an American they could need, why an art school? And being an artist, I was really curious in the answer. And his response was that there isn't better training for leaders than the arts, because it enables people to reimagine situations, reimagine possibility when life seems to constrain and to stifle, that creativity can burst through those walls. It was a powerful response for me, and I think helped me propel me in a direction that art was more than just making something pretty or the mere, I can duplicate that, but that there was actual power in art for social change. So a lot of the work that we do in our class is around that tour, bringing that forward to people and see art in a new way too.
Well, and we're in such a place in our cultural history where we're really at odds with people, each other. And if we don't reimagine a new way to be, form a new narrative, to think about new stories, then we're just going to keep running into each other.
Peg, you and I work that way. We have been working since 2007, painting together on the same canvas at the same time. And that was a result of working on a project in Northern Ireland to really illustrate the common thread between both Protestant and Catholic in a divided neighborhood. And we really discovered that by working together and allowing a third thing to rise, it's like ego moves out of the way. And it enables us to both be part of something, but something new rises in the midst of that. And that's where I think the conversation around the spiritual and the conversation of letting go of ego and trying to be right or in control enables us to allow new things to rise. So our painting is around that when we paint together on our personal work. And then we do a lot of exercises within our workshops that push us all into that kind of conversation or dialogue through art that puts us in a place to let go and see what can emerge if we work together.
It's not a compromise. It's the rising of a new idea. So we don't just take part of Chuck's idea, part of Peg's, and mix them up. Mm-hmm. We really do try to come up what would be different that neither one of us would be able to do alone. And that can only happen when things are in close proximity, like atoms vibrate, and when they get close to each other can create a new molecule. So it is with ideas. And I think we're at a perfect place where we're just sort of locked in this opposing sides, that if we could stay together and live in that tension long enough for a new idea to rise, not an idea like when Chuck and I paint together, not Chuck's idea, not Peg's idea, but a whole new third idea.
Mm-hmm. And you have, there's a tension, there's a creative tension that occurs there too, because even when we think about our culture desperately hanging on to the past versus moving into the unknown new, you can only be present in order to have that happen. To hold that tension between those two, I think, are really difficult, and I think it allows the best possibility. I talked to a physicist not too long ago. We were talking about art, and he saw art and working in this way together, that it's only out on that edge that fractals occur and new things begin to form out on those edges and boundaries. Holden Village is also a place that helps that, because we're out on a wilderness boundary. This bridge into something new can occur here, and I think that's why Holden continues to grow on that edge of conversations and dialogues that are needed in the earth that we probably can't have in other places within our culture.
And people make changes on edges and boundaries, and that's where they actually do change. And it gets around to how our art influences us being a director. we try to direct the village the way we paint. When we have a decision to make, we try to come together. And it might not be Chuck's answer or Peg's answer, but we try to come up with something that neither one of us would have thought by holding the tension of what needs to happen. It plays into our directorship as well.
The summer's conversation of unity of love, which can take many different forms and certainly many different opinions in there. And for me, the key word is love, that love is the deepest note in the universe. Even though that is blocked from our view or feelings or hurts or pain, there's still a much deeper note in that people are good and that there's love underneath that. And if we can just find that thread that connects us, no matter the barriers that we've constructed, there's much power in that. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke in that quite eloquently, the beloved community, on finding that deepest note of love, that can overcome lots of division. It's a hard path to do, but I think it's necessary to talk about and then act into. We try to bring that into the art and the workshops that we do, that it really tries to reform and reshape maybe our own personal creativity and wonder and imagination that can help trigger that love instead of isolation or fear, but to really bring out the goodness in people and express that through art.
And the new ideas that rise only because we're connected.
Right.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.